now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. We're joined by Benjamin Weingarten, one of the bright young stars in the firmament of national security analysis and advocacy, I think it's fair to say. He is the founder and CEO of ChangeUp Media, LLC. Is a Publius Fellow of the highly esteemed Claremont Institute and formerly involved with TheBlaze.com. We caught up with him on Radio Row at the Conservative Political Action Conference outside Washington, D.C. It's nice to have him here in the flesh, as they say, as opposed to just on the line. But, Ben, it's good to have you back. Welcome. Good to have you.
My pleasure, and thanks so much for having me again, Frank.
One of the things that we've talked about before, but I think is very much obviously in the environment here at CPAC, is the state of the presidential contest. We'll have a number of the remaining candidates, I think all of the remaining Republican candidates, present at one point or another in the course of the CPAC conference. Give us, if you would, a flavor, as you see it, of the state of the debate within that highly contested circle right now with respect to national security.
Yeah, well, I think the state of the debate is there's a fundamental question, and it hasn't been framed as such, but as to whether or not, if there's a Republican president in 2016, we're going to continue with the Republican version of progressive foreign policy, or there's going to be a transition in which we analyze enemies based upon how they describe themselves, what their ideology is, what they say their tactics are going to be. And on the positive side in this election, there has been an articulation of the fact that intervening in every single situation in the Middle East in and of itself as an ideology is a mistake, that you have to analyze every single enemy and every single situation based upon what's in America's national security interest. So to that end, I think there's been a productive debate. I'd like to see more particulars, more meat on the bones as to whether or not our candidates are going to be a continuation of George W. Bush, or if we're going to learn from the mistakes, and also some things that were gotten right to change the trajectory of our national security and foreign policy.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying. Obviously, there is an imperative to be clear about the nature of the enemy and to be addressing those that pose a threat to this country and do so in a way that is effective. But talk a little bit about that ideological piece, if you would, because it does seem to me that what's mostly been missing, and you mentioned sort of the progressive approach, I assume you mean that without regard to party, because clearly there's been a certain amount of similarity in the approach between the last Republican administration and the present Democratic administration. But the connective tissue here, isn't it, is in many of these enemies, whether it's of the Sunni stripe or the Shiite stripe, that ideological tie, I think it's best described by the term they use for it, Sharia.
Yes. Certainly, they have a set of goals and objectives and a strategy to achieve them, they being both Sunni and Shia. And they lay it out very clearly. It's to spread Sharia law over the world and have a one-world, in effect, caliphate state under their rule, under totalitarian Sharia rule. Conversely, when I spoke about the notion of a progressive Republican foreign policy, my use of progressive there is to reflect sort of this Wilsonian view that our ideals can be spread over the world, even in places inhospitable to them, even in places that have never gone through the trials and tribulations that we had to go through to get to a Western liberal system.
Let alone have any aspiration to do that.
Right. And if you look at all the polls, all the data that we have from Pew and elsewhere, it's 70%+, if not significantly more, of Arabs in predominantly Muslim countries believe in having Sharia law as the law of the land, are perfectly fine with homicide bombings as a tactic, are fine with basically every principle that is anathema to our system. And so to think that we can impose our system on people who are completely inhospitable to it, and to think that that's in our own national security interest, is the height of folly. And so the next president really needs to understand that, in my opinion.
They do. And just again, to bear in on the question of the various candidates for that commander-in-chief role, Do you see anyone at the moment who seems to have that kind of clarity and is, as important to me, frankly, seeking a mandate from the American people to actually execute a strategy for dealing with that ideology?
Yeah, I think the way to evaluate this is not just on words, but on actions. It's basically a three-man race at this point, unless the establishment finds a way to cram in someone else towards the end. Ted Cruz, to me, seems like the only candidate who has articulated the nuanced view that there are enemies who seek to spread Sharia law across the world, that we need to destroy those enemies. But when we go in and do so, it isn't about nation building and building Switzerlands in places that are the antithesis of Switzerland. It's about defending our national security interests, and it's about not also, when it comes to rules of engagement, tying us down so that our soldiers can be picked off going house to house in the middle of Iraq or anywhere else in the Middle East. So to my mind, Ted Cruz has articulated that policy. Victoria Coates, who is his sort of architect, mastermind on foreign policy, I've interviewed and asked her questions deeply about what their view is. And to my mind, they are the only ones, credible candidates at this point, who have articulated that. Conversely, if you look at Marco Rubio, to me, based upon who he has surrounded himself with and the research that he clearly lays out when he is speaking on the national stage, to me, it sounds like George W. Bush part two. He's talked about spreading democracy around the world. And again, I think we haven't learned anything 15 years after September 11th if that's going to be the national position.
And you've not addressed one of those candidates in the three-man race. What are your thoughts on Donald Trump's attitudes towards this ideological threat and the degree to which he's been clear about what needs to be done about it?
Well, look, when it comes to the notion of should we be importing potential jihadists, clearly Donald Trump opposed that. And by the way, if you want to look at a mandate, it seemed like two-thirds of Republicans agreed with him as to that policy. So there may be some mandate there. Now, that said, have I heard Donald Trump articulate who is the greatest threat to American national security in the Middle East? Can you articulate the difference between Sunni and Shia and what 12er Shia ideology is? Or whether or not we can work with the Sisi and not work with an Erdogan, for example? None of these things have been articulated. It's all pretty much superficial, high-level, not propaganda, but talking points. And so I haven't heard real meat on the bone in terms of his understanding of who the enemies are and what American policy should be in dealing with them, because this is a multifaceted threat that exists internationally and domestically.
This is not a political program. This is a show that focuses on national security. But as we are talking about the selection of the next commander-in-chief, potentially, you've done some very important work, Ben Weingarten, on the math of getting to the magic number of 12, whatever it is.
Yeah, 37.
1237, yeah. Thank you, at the convention. Give us, if you could, in just a minute and a half or two, what your current reading is on who gets there and you know, how fast.
Yeah, I think you would be foolish at this point to bet against Donald Trump not hitting that simple majority of 1237. If he does so, pretty much all bets are off for any shenanigans, in my view, on the convention floor, unless somehow you had a rule change at the last second. Last time around in 2012, such a rule change was implemented to stop Ron Paul from giving an address on the convention floor, where the winner has to not only win a simple majority, but also win a majority of delegates in eight primaries. We'll see if Donald Trump hits that number. I suspect he probably will. But look, the full force of all of the sort of political class and establishment on the Republican side has not trained their fire yet on Donald Trump. Let's see if he gets through that proving ground, because as we've seen, he has around a 35 to 40% ceiling, and lots of people seem to be voting last second, not voting for Trump. So we'll see. I'd still bet on him, certainly, today. But that doesn't mean things can't change radically in a week's time or less.
Well, and as you say, there will almost certainly be intense fire coming from these various quarters, including in the course of the debate tonight. My guess is that we will also see a lot of fire coming from the Democrats as they now pivot to the general election. You'll be following it closely, Ben Weingarten, at Change Up Media, LLC, as will we, and I will be able to do so together often and with great effect in the near future. Thank you very much for your time. Ben, it's good to talk with you as always.
Thanks for having me on. My pleasure.
Next up, Dan Bongino joins us. We'll talk with him about the impact of our See No Sharia policy on the first lines of defense and what it will mean for you straight ahead. We'll be right back.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.